Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Wealth Creation Radio. My name is Sean Hill, and I am your host, and I am here with my wonderful co-host, Louisa Sanderson, and we are about to blow your business up. We are, you know, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on our guests, but it's about to go down. I guess the reason I feel so excited is because I've been off Facebook for about, I'll say about a month. Tuesday night when I can hang out with some family members and we can just talk about good business, and man, I am so pumped up. Anyway, before we get to our guest and to the show, I want you to know that tonight's show is sponsored by www.sexybiglashes.com and mindyourblackbusiness.com. And so check out those websites. Sexy Big Lashes, if you're looking for an income opportunity, 2015, get out of that job, that J-O-B, just over broke, and get into something that's really going to increase your income. Make sure you check it out. So if you want to contact me, you can get in touch with me at Sean, SHAWNHI77@yahoo.com, and I would be happy to talk to you. And Louisa, can you tell us about mindyourblackbusiness.com? Did I say it right tonight?
You sure did. You said it with attitude. That's how I like it.
Attitude.
Yes, I can, and I'm actually really excited. As many of our listeners probably know, or anybody who's followed me in the online world, the website was down for some time, but it's slowly but surely making its way back up. People can go on there now and start to read old stories. And February 2nd, Mind Your Black Business will officially relaunch. We'll have new stories, new business spotlights of the week. So anyone that is interested in being a part, whether they have a business that they'd like featured, if they want to advertise, if they are writers and they want to write for the site, please, please, please give me a shout. You can reach me at info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. That's info@mindyourblackbusiness.com. But until then, and in the meantime, Sean, I'm excited about tonight's show. And I don't want to put pressure on our guest tonight either, but I'm really excited to hear what she has to say about setting goals and having successful businesses.
I'm telling you, we've had some tough competition. We have had some really awesome guests. As you know, we strive to provide only the best for our listeners, and we have had some awesome guests. Every now and then I'll go back and listen to the show, and I'm taking notes. The times I actually am quiet enough, I'm writing down notes, and I'm taking notes, and it's actually helped my business. So once again, have had some great guests on, and you have been so fantastic with the value that you provide every night. I'm going to actually start with our nonprofit of the week. I've got to note that our business of the week may be a little bit delayed. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to get on. So, Louisa, I'm going to actually kick it over to you, and I know you have an exciting nonprofit to tell us about, so it's on you.
Okay. Well, you know, tonight is not surreal, but it's a fun night for me tonight because, as everybody knows, a lot of us are in different groups online, especially in Facebook, so I sent out a call for nonprofits in one of our Facebook groups, in the Black Owned Business Facebook group earlier, and I got quite a few responses, including this wonderful lady, Selena Campbell. And Selena has what I think is a great, just one of the best nonprofits I've heard of, and she's doing some great things, and she has a great service that she's providing to parents. And her nonprofit is called New Kids Clubhouse. And I'm not going to say too much more because I know she's really passionate about it, and she has a few things going on with it. I'm going to go ahead and, Selena, if you would just please come on and tell the audience about your organization and how we can support you and how we can contact you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me again. I really do appreciate this opportunity. New Kids Clubhouse is a nonprofit organization providing hourly child care services while incorporating a feeding program in Monroe, North Carolina. As a single mother myself, I juggle between school, full-time employment, starting a business, and raising children. So I know from firsthand experience the struggle of affordable child care and hungry children. This personal experience is the driving force behind the success of this organization. At New Kids Clubhouse, we try to think outside the box by accommodating parents with hourly child care services. We're open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And I know you all heard recently in the news about the Louisiana mother who left her two small children home alone, and tragically they died in a house fire while she was getting her hair done. And another recent story out of Arizona where a mother left her children in a car unattended while she went in for a job interview. These incidents could have been avoided if these mothers had access to affordable hourly child care services. Currently, we're focused heavily on a funding campaign to get our doors open. We're unable to operate until certain modifications have been made to our building. A little background, we've been in our building for about 7 months now, and during this time we had to make a lot of revisions to the building. For one, we had to add over a $10,000 fire alarm system throughout the building. So that alone took away a lot of our capital, on top of not being able to, you know, gain any income off the building. That's why we're so focused on the funding campaign at this time. Also, we had to turn away over 20 families. So we know that the services really needed in our community. On Tuesday, January 27th, which is also my birthday, we're having a fundraiser event called Skating with a Purpose at Kate Skating Rink, and that's from 6 to 9 p.m. That's going to be located in Indian Trail, and the first 10 kids are free. We also have set up a GoFundMe account, which 100% of the proceeds go straight to New Kids Clubhouse. The GoFundMe account address is www.gofundme.com/go4UTC. You can also find us on Facebook at New Kids Clubhouse. Again, we just want to stress, you know, without the support of our community, we are nothing. And, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And we're very passionate about that slogan. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Selena, I know, and I think we got your how to contact you. We have the GoFundMe that I hope everybody will help you out with. And then we know it's your birthday next week. So
you're right.
Happy early birthday.
That's most important. That's a plus.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I also wanted to add, again, we have recently, by the grace of God, received partnership with Lowe's. They came in and are willing to assist us with some of our projects. So, you know, we're in the midst of getting the word out, and people are finally to, you know, gaining or paying attention to our cause, which is very important. Again, we know that the service is really needed throughout our community, and we just hate turning away these kids when we know the service is needed.
Right, and what you're doing is so important. The child care for so many families is so expensive. I know. I don't know what it is across the rest of the country, and it's been a long time since I've had little bitties, but I know in the Dallas, Texas area, it used to hurt me to have to send my kids to daycare because of the prices. So
absolutely.
I can really appreciate what you're doing for families and making sure that children are eating as well. So are you going to be able to stay on the call with us for the rest of the show?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, what we're going to do is Sean is actually going to mute your mic as we introduce our guest this week. But if you want to say anything, if you have any questions, if you'll just press 1, then he'll be able to buzz you back in with any questions or comments that you might have.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, what a wonderful cause. I mean, that is just so awesome, so outstanding to hear that. And, of course, child care is just so needed and so necessary that we just can't do it without it. It breaks my heart when I hear those gut-wrenching stories about children being lost from lack of proper child care. And it's often, you know, just so easy to point a finger of blame. And I'm one of those type of people, I'd rather, you know, light a candle than curse the darkness. We might as well try to, you know, provide some options for people so that they have, you know, suitable child care and they don't have to make those drastic choices. And so kudos to you. Happy early birthday. I hope you get everything that you want. That sounds like a very, very valuable charity. Well, my business of the week doesn't look like they're going to make it, but guess what? We are about win-win here. And so guess what? That just means we get to spend even more time with our guest of the week. And so I am so excited about that. I am not going to butcher her introduction. I want the words to come from her mouth about what she does, her history, where she comes from. We're so blessed and honored to have her on the show. And I'm excited about it. We always try to bring you the best, and I guarantee this week we have not failed you. Rashonda, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you. Can you tell our listeners just a little bit about you and what's your history?
Definitely. Well, I want to first say thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I am a business consultant. I got my start actually as a licensed real estate agent. And what I do is I help businesses put their pieces together. So I help them develop strategy, foundation, systems, and processes to help them meet and exceed their goals.
That is awesome. Now, how long have you been doing this?
I started as a business coach with one of the top real estate brokerages in the United States, well, actually in the world, because Keller Williams has now gone to Africa, Canada, and many other places. And that was about 3 years ago.
That's wonderful.
So it's been a little over 3 years.
That's wonderful. Now, how has your experience been so far?
Phenomenal. When you do something on your own without a certain type of structure, it is empowering and kind of nerve-wracking at the same time. In that arena, I was dealing directly with just real estate agents. In my consulting business, I deal with real estate agents. I have a program separate just for real estate agents as well as other small businesses. So it really allows me to tap into all different facets of business building.
Awesome. Now, in your profession or in your area as consultant, what are some things that you see that may have hindered some businesses in 2014 and that they don't want to bring into 2015?
I would say the top three that I see is social media. Second, I would say what I call the shiny object syndrome, which equates to not really having a focus, but doing a little bit of everything. And thirdly, I would say what I call the microwave syndrome, you know, wanting that right now, especially with social media and the internet. what I see is a lot of my smaller businesses are comparing themselves to people who've been doing what they've been doing for, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, thinking that they should be at the same level of caliber. You know, they don't see the pitfalls and, you know, the failures and different things like that. They just see where they are now. And when they compare themselves, they always feel inadequate, or they feel like they can't do it, or it's not enough, or, you know, they should be marketing more. When really it shouldn't, they shouldn't be. It should, they should really just be working on their foundation and building from there, because owning a business is like anything else. It's a process.
Absolutely. We have one of your peers, one of the best business consultants out there in Louisa. Louisa, I know some of this is ringing true for you. Do you want to comment on, man, those are so good. Did you want to comment on anything that Rashonda said, or did you have, or have you found some things that are kind of hindering people in 2014 that they need to leave there?
I think Rashonda, she said, made some really good points, especially with the whole microwave syndrome. I like the way she put that, that instant gratification that we're all looking for in business, and it doesn't just happen that way. But and to add to that, Sean, you know my big thing is networking and building relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think this probably is a part of the whole microwave syndrome, but it's people thinking that they go into an organization or they meet new people, they gain new contacts, and they believe that, you know, okay, we've exchanged business cards, now we're going to do business. And they, you know, my whole thing is, nurture that relationship, build those relationships, build your communities, so that when you're ready to do business or when you have an opportunity, you have the foundation to go to those people and ask them to help you, and you've already invested in them and you've invested in the relationship. So, like I always say, it's all about the networking, but it's about being genuine in your networking. So that's what I hope. I hope people leave that part of the microwave syndrome in 2014, thinking that instant relationships equal instant business proposals.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I hope is left there, and I think, you know, Rashonda hit on it so well, is this shiny object syndrome. You know what? Anytime we get into something, that initial rush of starting your own business, having your own thing, whether you're still working full time or you're working your business full time, it's so exciting. We have that adrenaline rush, and I was kind of talking to my wife about this, and I said, you know what? It's almost like that football game. You know, when you're in the first quarter, the score is 0-0. Everybody's pumped up. We got the energy. You know, everybody's fresh. They're not tired. And boy, I tell you, that first quarter is exciting. And you hit the second quarter, and it's just it's a little bit of a lull. And, you know, it's like, okay, we just kind of get into our rhythm, and we have a little halftime, and we have a third quarter. And then a lot of times we really don't pick up that steam until that fourth quarter. But remember, you know, owning a business is a marathon. It's not a sprint. We as you said, you know, we love to hear the stories of the people who've had overnight success. Well, if you just dig a little bit deeper, you'll see that was a long night. It wasn't just overnight. It was a very, very long night. And a lot of times we want the end result without doing a lot of the hard work that needs to be done. I was also talking to my wife this morning. I tried to read a proverb a day, and I was reading Proverbs this morning. It was talking about Proverbs 20, verse 4, and it talks about plowing in the when it's cold, plowing in the winter to reap a harvest. You know, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, man, you know, sometimes when we're plowing, when we're planting seeds, we don't see the end result. It just is like hard work. It's very frustrating, and a lot of times we can just quit. We can give up. What I want to encourage our listeners tonight is don't do that. You know, listen to what we have to share with you. You've gotten off to a great start. We've already dropped some nuggets on you. But just don't, you know, fall into that shiny object syndrome where, okay, and like kids, and like, okay, I got this toy, and okay, now it's not as fun anymore. It's gotten a little bit tough. So now let me go over here and do this. And no, let me put that down. Let me go over here and do that. Believe me. Rashonda can tell you, Louisa can tell you, I can tell you, any business you get into, any relationship you get into is going to have its good and bad. They're just if we're waiting on that utopian business that is just perfect and we just love it every day and we go dancing into it, you're going to be waiting a long time. They're all going to have their challenges. What I encourage you to do is to develop your skills. That's what I hope for you in 2015, is that you look at your skill set and raise your level. It was Zig Ziglar that says, you know, don't wish it was easier. I know Jim Rohn, I'm sorry. Don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. And sometimes that can be a little humbling to admit that we are not where we should be. And so don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Rashonda, one of the skills that you bring to the table is when we talk about developing strategies, how do we do that? What is your method of doing that?
Well, I start off with, one, if there were no constraints, time, money, family, nothing, what would their, what I call the perfect bill, look like for their business? So what is their masterpiece picture? Because sometimes people will tell you, oh, well, you know, I think this, or I've done this, or I think I'm good at that. And then as you get into it, they're veering from the path, and you're trying to figure out why. So I always start off with, if there were no constraints, what would their business look like? What would their life look like? Because that's another thing with my consulting, I do bring into it their entire life, because your family, your finances, your support system, all that will affect your business heavily. Then from there, I start into goal setting, because a lot of people don't take the time to goal set in the retrospect of it fueling their activities. They goal set and set it to the side, or they do a vision board and they make it pretty and they look at it, and then every day they wake up and they're doing stuff. But their goals and their activities are not aligned. So that's where we take it from next. So we start off with no constraints, what does it look like? Then we go into goal setting, and we take that down into an overall strategy to help them reach that into their daily activities.
You know, I love it when you said sometimes the goals and activities are not aligned. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, again, you know, I think a lot of times in business, we're trained to do certain things in business, you know, and when I do my goal setting class, that's one of the first questions that I ask is, do you set goals? And if you do, why? You would be surprised how many people set goals, but they really don't know why. You know, it's like, well, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we were told. That's the way we were trained. And so they have these goals, but it's not fueling anything other than a sense of accomplishment or a sense of failure. Well, I didn't reach my target. You know, I failed. Or I exceeded my target. Yay, I did good. But when it comes to what they should be doing every day, it doesn't coincide, and it should. When you sit down, you know, at your computer or start to make phone calls or for an event, those activities every day should be strategically matched with what your overall goal is for that day, that week, that month, that year. And so when you're sitting down with activities, you should know, if I do X amount this day or if I achieve this amount this month, by the end of the year, I'll reach my goal.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're gonna dig into that. We're gonna get a hold of that goal setting process, because I know sometimes this is where people drop the ball, not because they're lazy or anything, but just because they don't know how, and they don't know, you know, how do I get started, and what works and what doesn't work. And Louise, as you're sitting down with your clients, you're trying to develop strategy. What are some of the things that you're talking to them about?
You know, I kind of mirror what Rashonda was saying with her process, but I don't necessarily call it the same thing. But when I sit down with my clients, I first want to find out, okay, You know, it's kind of like if you could be anything in the world that you want to be, what would it be? And then we back into the goals from there. So we and I look really at what is, you know, what resonates with that person. What can they do, or what are they able to do that is not so much of a chore? Because if the goals that we're setting or what processes that we're looking at for them aren't something that they can really sink their teeth into, chances are they're not gonna accomplish that goal. They're not gonna follow that process. They're not gonna stick with the plan. So I really like to look at what resonates with the person, and from there, you know, how it applies to their values, where they want their business to be, in the short term and the long term, and then how we can best apply that to the business and what the business was meant to be for them. So for me, it really goes back to the human factor, and I think I've proven myself in this, because that's what I look for in everything. You know, you know, no matter what it is, whether it's goal setting for myself, whether it's working with clients, you know, whether it's networking, any topic that we discuss, you know, it's really about at you as the person. How can we make this successful for you by applying it to what really resonates with you and your values and what your priorities are? So that's my approach with my clients.
You know what? I think that's so important. I think one of the things that I encourage people to do, and I reading this book now. I just started reading it, but it's called The Seven Laws of Success, and it was saying the first law is identifying for you what success is. What's your definition of success? And I think that's so valuable and so important, because so many times we're so busy, we get so caught up in the business of life, and I think Rashonda said it so perfectly. A lot of times we start comparing ourselves to other people, and boy, I tell you, if they had a $20,000 car, I want a $30,000 car, whatever, you know, that we can do to get to that next level or just keep up with the Joneses. But I think the key is defining for yourself what is your definition of success, because yours may be totally different from mine. When it's all said and done, what would you look back on your life and say, you know what, that made me feel good? Would it be having your own business and just having your own business, but would it be having one that is a multi-million-dollar business, billion-dollar business? And then at the end of that, what does that really mean? I mean, it's great to have that as a goal, but really, what would your life look at? What would your family's life look like if that were possible? And would that make the difference? And I think that's, as we start at the core, at the foundation, I think that's so, so important. Rashonda, so here's where people have come. Let's talk about goal setting, and January is a perfect month for us. I know some people are deep into the resolutions already. Some have already probably faltered a little bit on them. They probably haven't had the best of success, but you can just start right over and pick that right back up. But when we talk about goal setting, what are some of the strategies that you use, and how do you help people set meaningful goals for themselves?
Really, to start off, I would say what Louisa said, you know, start off with what resonates with them, you know, and what you said, you know, what do they deem as success? Because in a business, it could be, you know, just replacing your current job. It could be just being able to go on vacation twice a year. So it really would start off with what do they feel is successful. And then we look at their time, because a lot of time people don't factor that in. They really don't look at, okay, really how much time am I investing in my business? There are individuals who work a full-time job and then do their business on the side, or they're in their business full-time. But a lot of times, when people are in their business full-time, they're not in their business full-time time-wise. You know, it's like, oh, no, I work my business full-time. I don't have another job. Okay, well, what time does your day start? oh, well, you know, I usually get started about 9 or 10. You know, I wrap up about 2. Okay, so then, you know, we look at how much time they have, how much time they're going to devote. Is there an ability to make a sacrifice or increase that? And then from that, we then go into what they should be doing. So in a day in your business, what are things that you should be accomplishing? You know, should you be contacting individuals, letting them know who you are or about an event? You know, do you need time for motivation and inspiration, for your affirmation? Do you need time for, you know, social media if that's one of your areas? So then we look at what should be factored in there every day as part of their schedule. We tie that into time slots and then take it a step further and factor in the time and the services that they provide and break it down monetarily. So if their goal is to make, and I'll use very simple numbers, $1,000 a month, and, you know, they're only going to work in their business, you know, they're going to work every day, but only for 2 hours. Well, in that 2 hours of lead generation time that you have, or, you know, closing the deal, you know, then we need to map out what you need to close in those 2 hours every day to get you to that $1,000 a month. So it's kind of a breakdown. And the other thing that's really important is, you know, we factor in what are their personal strengths and weaknesses. Because a lot of times, again, in business, in our business teaching, we're taught there are certain things that you have to do. Especially in real estate, like everyone says, well, you can't be afraid of the phones. You have to call, which is true. But I believe that you can use what you're strong at to make that the bulk of what you're doing. Yes, you need to step out of your comfort zone. But if you are constantly doing something that you hate to do, if you can't stand being on the phone or if you can't stand talking in front of people, and then the bulk of your lead generation or getting new clients is holding speaking engagements, you're going to fizzle out in your business because you're constantly having to do something that you hate to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we factor in what areas are you strong in, and then we build a system around those strength areas. And then depending upon the business, there might be some areas that you're not so crazy about, but that will be vital that we'll continue to work on and build on to make them more comfortable for you.
Man, that's so good. That's so good. So for our listeners who are trying to do this on their own and trying to, you know, set some goals and they don't have your wonderful expertise or maybe they just haven't contacted you yet, what would you suggest for them as way to get that goal setting process started?
Just to simply get started, take out, and I'm old school, so I still like paper. I'm not fully electronic yet. But get out your notebook, you know, a journal, just a sheet of paper, and write down, you know, what you want to achieve. And a lot of times it doesn't have to be super, super in-depth or major. It's kind of like praying. You know, you hear people pray and they sound so great and eloquent, and when you start praying, you're like, I don't think I'm doing it right. You know, there's not a right or wrong way to goal set when you're starting off. So it's get in there, get pen and paper, and just write down some things that you want to achieve, starting with tomorrow. And after that, think a little bit further. Think about this month, the next 6 months, and then for the entire year. And then every day before you begin your day, look back over that and think, okay, so what do I need to be doing today to help me achieve this?
Excellent. Louisa, when you sit down with your clients or friends, I know you have a lot of people that come to you who are asking for advice and can you help me get started, get off stuck. What do you tell them as far as goal setting and how to get started?
Well, you know, Sean, there is an acronym that a lot of people like to defer to when it comes to goal setting. And I honestly think it's cliche, but I use it anyway because it works. And that is, and it's SMART. It's called SMART goal setting. And that stands, the acronym is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And when I'm sitting with anybody who I'm helping with goal setting, and you're right, I do have quite a few friends that come to me for help. I need to start charging them. I'd probably make more money. But
there you go.
when I'm sitting with my clients and friends, I use the SMART method, although I don't necessarily call it the SMART method while we're talking about the goal. But just to run down, when you apply the SMART method of goal setting, the first one, specific, you want to be specific with your goal. And with that, it's kind of like, okay, some people will say, well, what do you want to do? I want to make a lot of money. Okay, can you be a little bit more specific? And by that, you don't just want to say a lot of money. You want to specify an amount. So we'll say somebody's goal is to make $50,000 over the course of 2015. At that point, they've identified a number, and they're just not shooting in the dark or just trucking along with no specific amount that they want to achieve within the year. And then from there, you want to make sure that it is measurable. And by measurable, your goal has to be something that you can actually, you can count, you can push it up against something, you can compare it to something. And with that $50,000 goal, then you can measure it. So you can look at it and break it down over the course of a year. You have something to kind of guide you as you go along. From the measurable, you have the attainable. You want to look at it and make sure it's attainable. Now, if you're in the business of selling trying to make $50,000 within your first year in a market like selling pencils, might not be attainable. You might want to break that down. You might even want to look at a different business. So you want to make sure that your goal is something that you can reach within the specified amount of time. Then you want to look at it: is it realistic? You know, am I being realistic by setting this goal? Can I truly make this amount, or is it even too easy? You don't want your goal to be so hard that it's discouraging, but you don't want it to be too easy to the point where you've really not achieved anything when you could have pushed yourself a little bit harder. Then we look at how timely it at the timeliness of it. And by that, it is setting that time limit. By saying that you want to make $50,000 over the course of 2015, and you've looked at the other factors of how realistic it is and how attainable it is and all that good stuff, and then you set that goal of 1 year, you give yourself all the parameters that you need so that you can take that larger goal, and as Rashonda mentioned, you can start breaking it down into your daily goals. And then with your daily goals, you can look at, what do I need to do today that's going to build me towards what needs to be done this week, for the month, for the quarter, and for the year? So I think the SMART goal method is great. I like I said, I don't call it that when I'm talking to people. I just use those different attributes as we go through goal setting. But when you set those parameters for yourself, that's what gives you the guidelines, and that's what lets you know, okay, I've made it. I've achieved my goal. Now I can set a new goal, or I can do something else, or maybe I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing to stay on track for achieving the goal. So that's what I use. I just don't tell anybody that's what I'm using when I'm using it.
I love it. I love it. I've used that acronym, and I've used that process. I tell you what, it is so valuable because you really get people to really think into things. Like I said, it's one thing to say, I want to be rich. Well, I mean, my goodness, who doesn't? But okay, what is rich? What do you mean? Are you saying you want to make $20,000 or $50 or $200? So what, you have to put a number to that. You have to be specific, because you know then you can reach it. And I think Rashonda said something that is really important, is you really have to be realistic. You have to be able to quantify it. And you have to know exactly where you're going. And I tell you, I was watching Shark Tank one evening, and I forget what product the young lady had, but it was one young lady, she had some product, and she had, it was her first year, I believe, and she had $90,000 in sales. And they were like, well, you know, that's not bad. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, because you're talking millionaires and billionaires here. So for them, you know, that's good. Your first year, you're getting off to a good start. And so there was some interest. And then they said, okay, well, what are your projections? What do you think you're going to be doing next year? Where are you projecting your business? And that young lady said, well, you know what? I project I'm going to do $1.4 million. And they were like, oh, please, come on. You're going to go from $90,000 in sales in year one to $1.4 million in a year. And so really, unfortunately, the young lady lost all credibility with them, because, you know, just because they understand the process, the ramp-up process to go from where she was at $90,000 to $1.4 is just – that would have been so huge for her. And then they asked, well, what is, once again, as we're saying this, what are some of the processes you're going to do? What are some of the details? How are you going to get from where you are now to 1.4? And she said, well, you know, I'm a hard worker, and I'll be up all night, and I'll do, and all those things are wonderful. And I love all those. I hope we all have all those qualities. But that in of itself will not get you from $90,000 in sales to $1.4 million in a year. That may be too much. So I don't want to discourage anybody. I hope you have wonderful dreams, but there's a process. There's a process to everything, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. One of the things I want to share with you about goals is that you have to engage your mind. And what I'm saying by that, I don't mean just you have to think about them. There are two hemispheres to the brain, the right brain and the left brain, and when you're setting your goals, you really want to make them clear. You have to really engage both hemispheres of your brain. The left hemisphere of your brain deals mostly with analytical, logical, math, science, organizational skills. So that's the left hemisphere. The right side of your brain deals predominantly with the visual, the creative, the music, humor. So when we're setting down our goals, how do we engage our full mind, and how do we visualize, and how do we make this thing real for ourselves? Well, I kind of gave it away right there a little bit. One is two steps. One is visualization. You have to see it in your mind before you'll see it in reality. So you have to picture yourself. You have to picture yourself in doing whatever, in present tense, whatever your goal is. If your goal is to lose 100, you know, to get down to 180, you have to see yourself as that person. You have to visualize yourself being there. That's going to engage, you know, your mind, that right side of your brain. Then you have to speak. You have to verbalize it. Affirmations. So now we're talking about, you know, affirming that I am, not I want to be, but I am 180. Or whatever your goal is, I have a business that makes $20,000 a month. Even if you're making $2 a month, you need to say, I have a business that's making $20,000 a month. And you have to believe it. And Rashonda put it so perfectly, visualize your life at that level. So what would your life look at if you're really making $20,000, six-figure income a month? What would your life look like? Now, don't go out and buy it. Don't go out and get the, you know, if you can't afford it, don't go out and do that. But just visualize what your life will look like at that level. And I guarantee, as you start writing those goals down, as they're going to become more real for you. They're going to make that happen. You're going to engage that process. But those two things are so key. Visualization, I think Rashonda said it perfectly when she talked about the vision board. Well, that's part of visualization. That's part of seeing it. But you have to speak it as well. One thing that I loved when I was reading about Rashonda that she does, and I'm a big person on this, and I know you are as well, Louisa. She's big on processes, putting processes in place. We're going to talk a little bit about how you help your clients put a process in place and why that's important.
Well, I'll start off with why it's important. A lot of I'll take it back to the shiny object syndrome. You know, mm-hmm. In business, especially if you have not owned a business previously, there are a lot of things that you can do, even when it just comes to putting your name out there, especially now with the internet and social media and everything like that. So it's very you can very easily become overwhelmed with different things to do. So it's important to have a process. So one, there's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have the ability, which Louisa talked about in the SMART goal setting, you have the ability to track, to see what's working and what's not working. And then I also like the purpose of processes for leverage. There's going to become mm-hmm. a point in your business as you grow that you no longer will be able to maintain everything as an individual. You will have to get some help. If you start to document and build your processes as you go, when it comes time to bring in someone else to assist you, you can easily hand that off a lot swifter and smoother than bringing someone in and they halfway having to read your mind because you know the way you always do it, but nobody else knows. It's not documented anywhere. And you kind of tell somebody, but you don't fully tell them because you're so used to doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The way I start with my clients with building processes is having them document what it is that they do. So if we're working on lead generation, we are going to start off with, you know, back to their business plan or their marketing plan. Where do they plan on getting the leads from? So basically we start off with the item, the subject matter, how we're going to maneuver through that subject, and then we document it. And then as they implement that process, they're able to then look back and say, nope, this works, it doesn't work. But if you don't document, then and follow-up is a really, really big area that processes are great for.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Louisa talked about networking. Well, how many times have you gone to a networking event, exchanged business cards, and you've never heard from the person again? You know, I believe whatever you're doing in your business, you need to be intentional. So when I go to a networking event, I have a goal set before I go into that networking event. I'm going to get so many business cards. I'm going to pass out so many business cards. I'm going to set so many appointments. And now it's more appointment-based because I've changed my strategy. But that's another show. but, you know, you have to be intentional. And I set a goal. And part of that is, okay, so when I get those business cards, what am I going to do with them? Well, you need to follow up. Well, how do you follow up? What do you send? What do you say? Because when you don't have a process, what happens is you attend two networking events in the same week back to back, and then you're like, oh, well, I saw on Facebook that people sent out a message, and then next week you're like, oh, well, I'm going to send handwritten notes, and there's no consistency. Business cards mm-hmm. get lost. You talk to one person one time. You talk to another person six times. So it's a matter of taking your goals and what you want to achieve, not necessarily monetarily, but as far mm-hmm. as the look, feel, and image you want to portray, the brand that you want to promote, and the type of service that you want to provide. And then we factor that into what your processes need to look like to achieve that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Louisa, once you have your clients and friends as they're talking to you, and you move them past the goal-setting stage, and they get down into the hard, where the rubber meets the road, those hard processing stage when they're putting, you know, bricks on the wall and they're trying to put them in place, how do you help them through that, or what do you talk to them about setting up those good processes?
First of all, Sean, I'm tired of going second because our guests are so smart. They keep taking all my good answers. I just have to put that out there. That's my little fit and rant for the night.
Okay. Get it out your system.
As Rashonda put so eloquently, stole from my brain. I think the number one thing you have to do is to. I first go over with my client, okay, what are you doing now? walk me through your process for whatever it might be. And I think she made a really good point that processes need to be with everything, and down to even networking. And I'm so glad she mentioned that, because we tend to apply processes to things that we see as really, really, really important if we are diligent in our business. Because I know some people, I have seen it with my own eyes and had to make the corrections. They don't even do it in the things that a lot of us find to be necessary. But when it comes to our accounting and financial record keeping, such as that, people they realize that it's important to have a process for that. But something as simple as networking, we don't apply a goal to it. We don't have a process for how we're going to do it. So we tend to fail. And then we think, oh, I'm not a great networker. So I just wanted to make that point, that I thought that was excellent that she brought that up. But getting back to the question, as I'm trying to figure out another answer.
You do it so well.
It is. I think it is important that you figure out, okay, what do you do? What is your wheel now? What are we working with now? And then from there, I sit with a client, and we look at what they're already doing and find whatever the pitfalls are in that process. Is the process working for you? And if not, where are you falling short? So, and then from there, that's when I kind of take it back to that whole human factor, and we examine it from that standpoint. What are you doing that in this process that maybe you don't like? Are you neglecting something because it just doesn't feel good for you? And then we look at it as, how can we make that part of the process something that's maybe more simplistic, so that it's not such a chore? Or how can we even change it so that it fits better with that person? Or in some cases, if the budget is there, hopefully, maybe we just need to get somebody else in this part of the process, somebody else who is going to fulfill this part of the process. Because, as Ashonda said, we all have things that we're good at, but there are a lot of things in business that we believe we're supposed to do. And a lot of times for small businesses, we don't have the luxury of hiring somebody. But when you do, identify what you don't like. Identify what you're falling short in, and hire an expert. Hire somebody else to do that for you. And when I say expert, a virtual assistant is an expert. An intern is an expert. An accountant is an expert. A business consultant is an expert. These are people who are going to do something very well. As simplistic as the task might be, or as tedious or high level as we might think the task might be, there's always an expert for that. And so if you have the ability to bring somebody else in the course of examining your process, do it, you know, and look at the ways that you can. And I think I'm kind of diverting from the question now, but you're not stopping me. But if you can hire somebody, if you can get an intern, or even barter, if you know somebody who has a certain service that you need, maybe you can trade. Maybe you're really good at sales, but you suck at accounting. See if you can't barter with somebody who's in your circle, and that goes back to the whole networking thing. But just to kind of bring it back, when you are looking at your processes, like Ashonda said, what are you already doing? What's not working, and how can we fix it? And then just those things that I've already mentioned, use those as ways of fixing your process, and hopefully maybe saving yourself a little bit of money in the process of fixing the process.
That is so good. You know, in our business, of course, you know, we're distributors, so we have direct sales network marketing company. So one of the pieces that Ashonda mentioned that's so important is leverage. And part of leverage is having a process that's duplicatable, that's easy, that's simple. I love when she said earlier, you know, I'm just going to talk about simple numbers tonight. And I thought she was talking to me because I'm just so simple. So I said, I think I'm going to get it or not. I can, when she's talking about simple numbers, I'm with you. I can get that. So you have to have a system that's duplicatable, that somebody can come in, get and understand, and there's a process to what you're doing. There's a method to your madness in your way of doing it, and so that's what I preach to our people. One other thing that's part of the process that I think a lot of businesses miss, regardless of the type of business, is the follow-up with your current customers. You know, it takes five times as much to acquire a new customer as it does to maintain the current customer that you have. And a lot of times we're leaving a lot of money on the table because we're not asking, we don't have a process with our current customers. If you have a customer base and you have software or whatever, if your software is a spreadsheet or if it's written down in a book or whatever your method is, and you don't know how many customers you have, you don't know how much each customer is worth, you don't know when to contact them again, you are leaving money on the table. And that's money that's in 2014. I don't want to see you leave in 2015. So one of the processes that you want to put in place is you want to make sure you have a process for following up with your current customers, reaching out to them. I mean, my goodness, Rashonda, when was the last time that someone you did business with, a business that you actually paid, just reached out to you, sent you an email, gave you a call, and just said, hey, we appreciate your business? When was the last time that happened?
Oh, wow. I want to do everybody justice, so let me rack my brain really, really quickly. I agree with you. That is something that is very far and few between. I'm very, very big on customer service. Like, I'm one of those people where I'll probably drive like an extra 5 or 10 miles or just to have the better service. If the service is bad, I just won't go back. Like, I could love it. And it's like, oh, nope, I just. So I agree. When someone does do that out of the blue, I usually, it resonates with me so much. Like, I'm like, wow. You know, like.
Exactly.
I can't think of anything, though.
Louisa, what about you? When's the last time, just out of the blue, they didn't want anything, they weren't trying to sell you anything? When's the last time a company just reached out to you and said, you know what, we appreciate you for being a customer?
That would mean I would have to be a customer. So now you're calling me out on my spending habit.
Sean, you're making her tell on herself.
Yeah.
I know, I see that. I see that.
You know what, though? I would have to say it has been a while, but I will say that I have a lot of great people that I've met within my network over the past few months that are good about it when it comes to networking. So people like Rashonda and others that I've met, I think when it comes to networking, I've had some really great people that said, hey, thanks for connecting. And I think that's important too when it comes to business. So I can't really say when the last time a business has done that. So I guess I'd have to be a customer too. I have to go spend some money. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You know, the reason I asked that is because I have to challenge myself with that. I have to say, okay, when was the last time that happened to me? And even deeper, if I dig a little bit deeper under the surface, I'd say, when was the last time I did that? When was the last time I just reached out to my customers and said, you know what, thank you, and just left it at that? Didn't try to sell them anything. And so, hey, believe me, I'm on the altar with everybody else. I'm not coming down from a mountain with two tablets. I'm in the valley looking up like everybody else. So, you know, I have to challenge myself with these things. And to go and take our businesses to that next level, we really have to go with good business practices, good processes, as Rashonda said. And one of those processes is making sure that we value our current customer base, not just because it's a nice thing to do and warm and fuzzy and we can get around the fireplace and not just because it's that, but it's just good business. It's cheaper to keep that customer than it is to try to get a new one. It's just absolutely cheaper. And once a customer purchases something from you, it's a whole lot easier to get them to repurchase it than it is to get somebody brand new who does not know you to get someone to purchase from you for the first time. That's why a lot of times you'll see businesses will have either a sample or a low cost purchase to kind of get you to move to make that buying decision. So if you might be selling a $90 item, but if I can just get you a $7 sample, or you know, just a $7 booklet or something, just to get you to make that first buying purchase. Now, once you've committed to making that little purchase, it's a whole lot easier for me to get you to commit to a bigger purchase. And that's one of the things we need to do as businesses, is make sure that we're following up with our customers. Wow, I cannot believe it's already been out. Rashad, how long do we have you? How long can you just hang out? Because I don't want to take all your time, but I'm here all night. Well, not all night, but a lot of the night.
Oh, no, I'm vested. So
you ready?
I'm good.
You good?
To go.
You ready to rock and roll?
Let's rock and roll.
Weezy, you ready to go? You charged up your energy drain? You know, you got your energy plugged in?
Sean, you know you have me shackled to the computer, so I'm here.
All right. Well, you know I always try to look out for my people. All right. We're going to keep on rocking and rolling as we talked about the process. And what I want to kind of talk about next is something that a lot of times we have a problem with is implementation. So we developed a strategy, written it down. We got the process. It looks good. But now it comes time to implement. Now it comes time to really get out there and get going. So, you know, how do you make sure that your people that you're, you know, consulting with, Rashonda, how do you get them to that implementation process? How do you get them off? You know, it's all well and good when I'm in a consulting session with you, man. The ideas are flowing, and boy, I tell you, this is just great. Now I got to actually pick up that phone and call somebody, or whatever the part is. So how do you get them there to that part?
Okay, Sean, I'm going to save you real quick. Louisa, do you want to go first?
She felt me. She felt it. I was just no, but I appreciate it. I need my sister girls to look after me because we know my co-host just leaves me in the wind. That's okay, Sean. I'm okay.
You know
but
what?
No.
Here's what I'm gonna say about that, because I know my girl Louisa. She is Mariano Rivera. She is the closer, so she can come in the ninth inning and shut anything down. So I have ultimate faith that whatever anybody says, as much as I love our guests, I know her. Whatever they say, she gonna have a closing point. So I'm never worried about that. But go ahead.
No, well, the love was enough for Shauna.
And Sean, you know, this collaboration technically was your doing, and you called it danger, if I believe correctly, if I could quote mm-hmm. you right. So. It's your fault. I'm just saying. Just go.
Mm-hmm. I accept full responsibility. I'm guilty. Go ahead, Rashonda.
Okay. When it comes to implementation, really that's where my hands kind of come off a little bit more, because we've laid the foundation. You know what you need to do. There's no question. It's just kind of, and this is very cliche, but it's like Nike. You just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What I do for my clients is I allow for accountability. You know, when you know that someone's going to be checking in on you, you know that there is a targeted number that you're supposed to reach, it kind of helps you mm-hmm. a little bit more. Because if you're not going to see anybody, you know, you go to a training class, and you get all this great stuff, like you said, you're pumped up, you're like, yeah. And then you sit down to that phone 2 days later, and then there's nobody from that class to ask you how it
That's
went
right.
or what's going on. If you make those
That's
calls,
right.
you know, then it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, nobody knows. So what I would say is I hold my clients accountable. You know, we set, I give them homework is what I call it. And I hold them accountable to the task that they are supposed to do. You know, it could be make 30 calls a day. It could be, you know, solidify their board members. And if they get stuck, or if it's a situation where, you know, they're having a hard time, I'm available to them to kind of walk them through it and say, okay. But, again, I'm kind of firm, you know. I've been called mean. But I hold them accountable. That's the bottom line. I hold them accountable. It's like, hey, and I take it back to your why. Remember you said that, you know you need to make these 30 calls to meet this weekly goal, which is going to make your monthly goal, which is going to make your yearly goal, which is going to take you off that job, or which is going to help you, you know, plan for your parents' retirement as they get older. You know, I take it back to why they're doing what they're doing anyway.
Absolutely. So good. Louisa, you're up. Shut it down. What you got?
You know, I'm probably a little bit more manipulative in the way I help my clients in it. And I know that sounds bad, but I have a hard thing with not being a mama. You know, I got kids, I got pets. So I tend to, it's just my nature to want to be mothering. But at the same time, I totally agree with Sean that, you know, once we've gone through this whole goal setting process and the process of setting processes and the process of doing whatever else in the process, then it's really up to you. You know, you have to want it. But at the same time, I admittedly am still a little manipulative in how I do that. And I give my clients kind of an action sheet the first time out of the shoot. And with that, it's kind of we go through, okay, this is what you need to do, and then this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. And this is usually the first time. And I hype them up, and I cheer them on, and I let them know I'm behind them, and I mean that 100%. But I also use that so when we come back to our follow-up session, and it's like, okay, well, what have you done? How did you do on your process or your goal setting or what you were supposed to do? If they falter a little bit, it's like, well, okay, you're good. You know, we have something to work with. But if they're closer to bombs, then I can pull that mommy thing out. I'm like, oh, really? But we worked so hard. And I did, you know, I lay on the guilt. I'm so sorry. But it helps. And, you know, because usually when you're working that close with somebody as consultants and coaches, and Rashonda, I think she can probably attest to this, you become vested in that. You know, your client's project becomes your project. If you're not careful, you have to remember, this isn't my baby. The client is my project, but what we're doing is for them. But they also, people also see that. They see that you're cheering them on. They see that you want it as badly as they do. So when they have not just themselves that they're having to report to, so to speak, but they see that you as the client or the consultant or the coach also is looking for them to make that process, you also want them to do well, then I think it puts on a positive amount of pressure that influences them to want to do better. So I agree. If you have to, as adults, as business owners, you have to want it for yourself, first and foremost, because I've seen people that no matter how much coaching and consulting and manipulating I do with them, it still doesn't work. But I use the mommy factor. I'm so sorry, people. Please hire me still.
I love the honesty. I love it. Hey, you know what? I love my mama. She's no longer here with us, but I love my mama. It would work. It's my mama today. You make those 10 calls like you said you were. I do it. Hey, okay, let me go make it. So, yeah, that would work. That would work. You know, one of the things that I really encourage people with and encourage them to do is, you know, start small and grow big. So start small. So let's say, for instance, your ultimate goal is to make 30 calls a day. Well, if you haven't made one, 30 can be really intimidating. And what we tend to do then is we tend to start engaging in a lot of, you know, avoidance behaviors. Well, let me just shuffle these papers a little bit more. And, boy, I tell you, they probably aren't up right now. And, boy, it's a little too early to call. And then we wait. Nah, it's a little too late. I'll just do it tomorrow. Then all of a sudden that pressure just releases off of us because now we were busy. You know, we were doing things. But there's a difference between productivity and activity. You know, you can be productive or you can be active and not be productive. You know, I could get on a treadmill and I could run for hours and boy, I've gotten a good workout, and that's activity. But if my goal was to actually go somewhere and move or run a marathon, well, see, I was active, but I wasn't productive. And so we have to move from activity to productivity. And I challenge the people that I talk to and the people that are on my team, as I say, start small, grow big. Let me help you walk through that. Let's make the first two calls together. Let's do this together. And I think sometimes when people feel they're supported, you know, a lot of times it's easier if you have that person. Now, obviously, you can't do this with everybody, and a lot of people don't want you to do it. They'll, you know, hey, look, I got this. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. No problem. But for the people that you can, I think Rashonda said it so perfectly. They just need to know that they're not in business by themselves. They need to know that, hey, I have somebody to help me here. And you know, you go to some seminars and you get all pumped up. You buy the books, you take the lessons, you sign up for the next one, and boy, you are on fire. You are ready to take on the world. And then you hit that Monday night, and then all of a sudden, all the rah-rah is gone, all the good music is gone, all the pat on the back is gone, all the attaboys are gone, and you're sitting there by yourself, and it's just you and that phone, or you and the computer, or you and whatever. And those are the times I think that a lot of people falter, because it's kind of easy for us to, you know, to kind of not hold ourselves accountable sometimes. It's kind of easy for us to, I'll get it tomorrow. I'll just let tonight go. Nobody's going to know. But guess what? You're the one that has to look yourself in the mirror, and you're the one that has to kind of bring this full circle and get back to what Rashonda said is, what's your why? You know, is it for your kids? Is it for, and I don't want to put Louise and put no guilt trip on nobody, but, you know, why are you doing this? You know, if you don't do it, who will? Yeah, you know, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? If not this, then what? You have to ask yourself those tough questions, because guess what? I know from personal experience, you're going to be asking those tough questions at 3 o'clock in the morning, looking up at the ceiling anyway while you can't sleep. So why not do what you said you can do? You're going to implement those plans that you put down. And I tell you, a great way to kind of bring us all home, and we want to talk about prospecting. I know it's all, as Rashonda said, there's a whole show by itself, and we're probably going to have, wink, wink, her back on to talk about just that specific piece, because it is so deep. But once we've implemented our plans, Rashonda, can you tell us what part prospecting has within that whole piece?
Ooh. I would say prospecting is truly a major part, you know, because that is where you are strategically getting in front of individuals who are going to support. And what I mean by support is participate in your services. So prospecting is really, really huge. A lot of people miss prospecting because they market. And like you said, that is a complete different mindset. Yeah, that would definitely probably be a complete different show. But it's really, really a huge part, because you really can save a lot of time, energy, money, resources by prospecting.
Absolutely, absolutely. And could you tell us a little bit about, you know, just a little bit about the difference between marketing and prospecting? I think a lot of people have those confused.
The major difference between marketing and prospecting is getting in front of people who you know need your services, whereas marketing is putting your services out to the masses. So an example of that. Let's see. Okay, a wellness coach. Marketing for a wellness coach would be, you know, putting out on social media, you know, oh, I'm a wellness coach. If you want to learn how to lose weight, you know, here's my website. You know, call me, contact me. Whereas prospecting would be getting in front of people who you know want to lose weight, who you know could use your services. So where would some of those places be? The gym. Most people don't go to the gym because they want to stay the size that they are. And if it mm-hmm. is not a weight loss thing, there's something dealing with their health or wellness, the reason why they're in the gym. If it's social media based, look for groups that are targeting weight loss, you know, groups on weight loss challenges, or even start your own weight loss challenge and attract people who want your service. That is the main difference. Prospecting is where you are strategically getting in front of people who you know need your service versus just putting your service out there to everybody.
I love that. I love that. Louisa, what do you think? How do you go from implementation to actually prospecting and getting in front of those people that you really know can benefit from your service? Louisa? Hello? The loser?
Can you hear me?
Okay,
can
I
hear
can
me,
hear
John?
You now.
Okay.
There you go.
So
I can hear
I had,
you.
I'm mute, and then I forget to unmute sometimes. So going from the process to prospecting.
Yes.
I think Rashonda said it really well. You know, when you have the goals, you're setting your goals, and you're looking at what you want to achieve. You know, when you move from that marketing process and into the actual prospecting, you're going after it. You know, to me, it is about it's about a direct hit, so to speak. You know, and I kind of use the analogy from the goal setting and the marketing to prospecting to the fishing. You know, if you're marketing, you're throwing your line out there and you're trying to see who you're going to get, you know, who's going to bite. But when you're prospecting, you're taking a net and you're going in and you know what you're looking for and that's what you're hoping to scoop out of the water. So when you go from your goal setting to your prospecting, your goals are going to dictate who you're approaching in your prospects and when you're prospecting. You know, you want to make sure that as you're approaching people, that they are tying back to your goals. You know, if my goal is let's say I want to hold a seminar for aspiring women business owners, then I'm not going to go to a men's luncheon or a Boy Scout meeting or anything like that. I'm going to go into some sort of networking opportunity that's going to allow me to be in front of the audience that I specifically am looking for, so that I can approach those women and say, "Hey, I'm holding this networking, or I'm holding this coaching or consulting meeting in the next few weeks. I'd like for you to be a part of it." I need to make sure that I'm putting myself in front of that specific audience who has the need for my service and my business and my product right now, not somebody who might have a need for it 2 weeks from now or a month from now. I'm looking for people who have that need right now, and that's where the goal setting is going to come into play, because if you know what you need for your business, then you know who you should be looking for when you're prospecting, or even when you're going backwards into marketing or what have you.
You know what, and I love it that you said that, because one of the things that I found in prospecting is, remember, and I really want to encourage our nonprofits to listen, you know, to what we said tonight, because what we said is so much for business, but it's for profit or nonprofits. One of the biggest mistakes I see a lot of nonprofits make is really just marketing to everyone. I mean, there are so many wonderful causes out there, and there's so many, you know, it's almost like so much noise. And you have to, as a nonprofit, be able to cut through that noise and hit that bullseye. I mean, you can shoot a, you know, shotgun, but you want to be that rifle. You want to be that sniper. You want to dead in on those people that really, that you can tug at their heartstrings, that really speak to the cause that you're pushing for. Because guess what? There are so many opportunities for people to spend their charitable funds, and depending on who you know, those funds might not be as huge as they once were. And so you a lot of our nonprofits really have to prospect a lot better than they have been, because as I, you know, as I'm on Facebook and I get stuff in the mail, I get some random stuff all the time about, oh, support this cause or support that cause, when it's really not even, you know, directed towards me. It's just directed towards everyone. And a lot of times I say, well, directed towards everyone is directed towards no one, because it's so generic that it really doesn't have that pull that makes you want to just stand up and say, you know what, that's where I'm going to put my money. That's what I have an interest in, and that's what I'm going to go for. So when you're prospecting, what I would just really encourage people to do is really, really target, be direct, and also remember, everybody's favorite radio station is WIIFM, What's In It For Me. And so you have to be able to tell the people what's in it for them. You have to let them know, hey, this is going to be a great product or great service or great cause, because it's going to help you. And here's how it's going to benefit you. People don't care about, you know, how much you're going to do it and what your vision is and what your dreams are, unless it involves them and unless it's part of their makeup and you can attach your dream to part of their dream. Now I'm interested. But if all you want to tell me is, I'm just really working hard so tomorrow I can be triple diamond, quadruple platinum, well, I mean, wow, good for you. But how does that benefit me? What good is that to me? If you can't connect the dots on that, then you're going to lose people and you're going to make them upset. But wow, it is already 8:23. This has just been a great show. I tell you, as we go along, our shows are just, you know, just getting great, better and better, and our guests are just fantastic. I can't say our guests are better and better, because they're all wonderful, and I love each and every guest, and this has been no exception. We're about to land this plane. We've been flying, and we're no turbulence. Things have just been going so well. We've been in first class, and I've been loving it, but we're going to have to land the plane and get back to the hard work that we all do. But before we do that, Rashonda, thank you so much for joining us, for being our special, special guest. Can you tell our audience how they can get in touch with you?
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure. I definitely learned some nuggets myself. You know, I might need to kick into mama mode a little bit more. but the guests can find me on Facebook, facebook.com, Rashonda Reed. They can also find me at rashondareed.com. And Rashonda is spelled R-O-S as in Sam, H-A-W-N-D-A. And I'm also on Twitter at BizPieces, which is B-I-Z Pieces. Again, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to joining again, hopefully, and it was such a pleasure.
Absolutely. You know, I just had a special warm place in my heart for, because my name, S-H-A-W-N, is right in the middle there, so you know, she had a special place in my heart. When I saw how she spelled it, I said, oh, man, you can't be nothing but good people. You got to be good people if you got my
That's
name
right.
in the bill. So, I certainly appreciate that. Louisa, wow, another great show. What are your closing thoughts? You're the closer. What are your thoughts?
First of all, I just have to address that there is no I in team, but there is Sean in Rashonda, apparently. So, or in team. Or somehow it's about Sean. I just wanted to make sure that we all understood that. Sean, as always, I just have to say thank you for allowing me to share your platform and probably be slightly embarrassing and a little mischievous on here. Thank you, Rashonda, for being on here. I'm so glad to have my partner in crime and in danger to be on there with me tonight. and then really it's just, you know, just to go back to the whole goal setting and everything for everyone, it's just you have to find what works for you. If you're not working with a consultant or a coach, there's two here online who can help you.
Absolutely.
But if you if that's not possible for you, if you prefer not to, figure out what works best for you, and then you just have to, you, like Roshana said, it, you know, not to be cliche, but just do it. You have, because the only way you're going to do it, you're going to be successful in it, is to build that habit, and the only way to build that habit is to do it. And, you know, maybe a nugget that I can offer is put it on your calendar. If you have to schedule your days of processes for a week or a month or a quarter, do it, you know, and pay attention to those reminders, so that you can start to build those habits and become fluent in your own business processes. But again, if necessary, there are two people on here who would be happy to help you to build those processes. And I'm pretty sure Sean will too. I always leave Sean out of it because he's kind of like the wizard to me. But there are three people on this call, on the show tonight, that can help you. But other than that, Sean, thank you for having us on here every week. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Like I said, this is as much your show, Louisa, as it is mine. And I hope you just feel like a guest in my home. Just come on in, take your shoes off, because you are absolutely fantastic. And I tell you what, we are getting exciting. The year started off with a bang, and we're just going to keep this thing going and moving. Right now, we're in talks and plans. We want to get some money from the government, but we're not talking about the government cheese. We are talking about legitimate business contracting money. We're talking about getting our fair share of government contracting, and we're talking, I hope that's going to be our next show. Like I said, it's a little bit preliminary right now, but I'm going to try to submit that and, you know, just kind of be on Louisa's kind of working on the on that end for me. Of course, our wonderful, wonderful guests, you know, from the other time, who helped us out so much, Brandy Adamson, and she did such a great job on talking about, you know, nonprofits. Well, guess what? Close to her heart is also helping people get part of government contracting, and we don't want to be an employee of the government. We want to work with the government. There, you can drive up and down the road, and you can see big, I mean, just huge buildings going up, roads being done. Well, guess what? All that's money, and we want to make sure you get your part of that money. So that's what we're working on. Pray for us that we get that done, because I think that's going to be a show that everybody wants to hear, should hear, and to see how you can, you know, get your part of that money. You deserve it. You pay taxes. At least I hope you do. So let's see how we can get some of that money back. But Louisa, before I let you go, we have an exciting show coming up, and I tell you, I want to keep mentioning it, but I'm going to, you know, I talk a little bit about that one, because I'm excited about that one. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. I'm excited, too. Coming up on February 2nd, and that's a Monday, so it's going to be a special show for us. We are going to have a special guest, Mr. Cheyenne Bostock. He is a life and relationship coach. He is, I like to call him Mr. Twitter, because he and I started following each other a couple years ago, and he blew right on up, because this man really leveraged his knowledge and his Twitter audience and his panache. He is going to be on Monday, February 2nd, to talk about his new book, Break Every Chain, and the book covers topics from love to life to raising your son, and it's a book geared towards men, but I think women need to also read the book. So Cheyenne Bostock, author of Break Every Chain, Life and Relationship Coach, is going to join us Monday, February 2nd. That's going to be a special show, but it's going to be the same time, 7 p.m. Central. So if you can do whatever you need to do, call a babysitter, call in sick that night if you work nights, whatever you need to do, Be on that call, listen in if you just want to listen in, stream the show if you miss it though, because he's going to have some really good insight. I've interviewed him for Mind Your Black Business already, and he offers some really good insight on being a man, owning up to your responsibilities, recognizing things that you need to do in life, and then just appreciating yourself. And it's not just for the men, but for the Black community as a whole. So I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, I am so excited about it. I'm trying to reach out to the brother, see if I can give me a free autographed copy. But if not, I may have to actually buy one.
Hey,
that's not me.
Black,
I can buy one. I can
Black. Blackwell Pledge, that can be your $20 for the month. Matter of fact, you
Absolutely.
Have $5 to you
Absolutely.
Have $5 to spend elsewhere. So
Well, you know, we always try to look for the hookups. I'm going to see if I get the hookup,
mm-hmm.
but if not, I'm happy to pay up. If I can't get a hookup, I'm happy to pay up. So I am so looking forward to that show. We need good black men to stand up and just be real. And guess what? We're not extinct. I don't care what the media is telling you. I don't care what some other people are telling you. There are a lot of good black men out there. So don't believe the hype, as one of our prophetic groups used to say. Don't believe the hype. You know, there are a lot of good black men out there, and I'm looking so forward to that show. Wow. Man, I tell you, wonderful. I love it. This is one of the highlights of my week when I get a chance to come and talk business and get some great ideas. Like I say, I always get more, much, much more than I give. And thank you so much for everybody for being on the show. And remember, come back next week. I don't know if we'll have that, but whatever we have, you know, we're always going to bring you the best. We're always going to bring you quality. And, of course, you can always reach me, Sean Hill, at SeanHI77@yahoo.com. If you're looking for an income opportunity, or you're looking for a process, or you're looking for any kind of goal to help you increase your income, then I am absolutely here for you for that. Well, until next week, I wish you all of God's blessings. And remember, be black, buy black, and build black. Thank you, everybody. Y'all have a great week.